Well, today is the last day of our summer sermon series. Just try to say that. And some of you came everywhere. Who came to all three Wednesday nights to see the movies? All right. We should give little gold stars for y'all. And some came once, and some came twice, and some came three times. But all who came seemed to really enjoy it. And so today I'm going to be talking about the movie that we saw on Wednesday called The Book Thief. Some of you may have read that book. Some of you may have seen the movie. Some of you may not even know what I'm talking about. But the name of the movie and the book is The Book Thief. And it is such a beautiful story, so beautifully written and so beautifully acted. A lot of people, when I say I love this book, say, but it's so sad. And yet I see it as a movie of hope and light and victory over evil and the triumph of God. It takes place during World War II in Nazi Germany, focusing on the ordinary lives of people who live on the street called Heaven in the middle of a town called Mulking. And here is a brief synopsis. The movie opens in 1938, and from time to time during the course of the movie, we hear the voice of a narrator who introduces himself as Death. The opening scene takes place on a train, and the train is filled with people, most of whom look devoid of emotion. And the camera goes through that train, and finally, it lands on a girl who is bathed in light. She is sitting next to her mother, who is holding her little brother. And the little brother dies on the train. And so the next scene shows our protagonist, Liesl Memminger, at her brother's funeral. And after the funeral is over, a small book falls out of the pocket of one of the grave diggers. And she looks around and she picks up the book and she dusts it off and she hides it in her coat. This is her first stolen book. The next scene shows her on her way to be placed with foster parents. And that's where we meet Hans and Rosa Ubermann. When Rosa, the wife, realizes that there's only one child, she says, "Where is the boy?" And her husband says, "Shh, he died." She says, "But they promised us too. Now we will have to do with one, we'll have to do with only one of the allowances." You see, she's completely unbothered by the fact that the boy died. She's only worried about those two allowances they would receive with those two foster children. So Liesl has now arrived at her new home, knowing her brother is dead, not knowing the fate of her own mother. Her father has already died. And facing the prospect of living with unknown people in an unfamiliar town. Well, the next door neighbor is Rudy. Rudy is Liesl's age. And he becomes her friend and watches over her, always asking her for a kiss, but never receiving one. Hans finds out that Liesl can't read, and so he begins to teach her. It becomes their special shared time together. And the first book that they read together is called The Gravedigger's Handbook, the one that she picked up off of the ground at her brother's funeral. Well, throughout the movie, Hans and Liesl add words to this wall down in the basement. They have a piece of chalk, and Hans has gone through that whole basement and made A and B, and they write words on the wall as she learns them. Words and language are very, very important throughout this movie. Well, as the movie progresses, of course, the war becomes more difficult, it becomes harder, and it becomes darker. Hans is punished because of his refusal to join the party. Food becomes scarce. Jews are being rounded up, even the ones who were born in Germany and whose children are actually serving in the war on the German side. At that time, Hans had made a promise to a family years ago when he was in World War I, and he His friend died on his behalf, basically. He says, he died in my place. And so in World War I, when that happened, Hans makes a promise to this man that any time his family needed help in the future, that they were to call on him. And so into this whole story now steps Max, the son of the man who died in World War I. He shows up at their door, and Hans knows immediately who he is, and he pulls him in, and it's very dangerous to have this Jew in their house. And yet Hans and Rosa hide Max in the basement. And Liesl becomes very close to Max, the older brother she never had. She also meets a woman, the Burgermeister's wife, who allows Liesl to read in her private library until her husband puts an end to that. But by the end of the movie, with all these different people and this cast of characters, we become aware of the coexistence of pain and suffering, good and evil, light and darkness, death and life, justice and injustice, hope and misery, faithfulness and abandonment, grace and fear. It is a story of living in the midst of life's tension, a story of finding consistency and steadiness in something besides our circumstance. It is a story of human relationships and how they shape us. There are many, many scenes where beauty is found despite the presence of war and hatred and deprivation all around. Now, I chose today's scripture passages based on the importance of the word, on the ultimate triumph of good over evil, of the presence of light in the darkness, and of God's never-failing faithfulness to us. At a point, Liesl brings this newspaper to Max. He's down in the basement, and he hasn't been outside at all because he's in hiding. And she brings him a newspaper, and he's so eager for news of the war. And he says, is this today's paper? She said, yes. And he opens it up, and he goes, the world has gone mad. At a time when indeed the world had gone mad, God didn't abandon us. Hans, Liesl, Rudy, and Max are beautiful representations of light and hope in a dark world. The importance of the power of the word is highlighted over and over and over again. We see that words can be used for good through Hans or for evil through the government's propaganda efforts. Pain and loss and struggling are recurring themes as well. And then we realize that pain and loss can shape us for good or ill, depending on how we deal with those things. We see that in the struggle, we can find peace and we can find God. Liesl and Hans and Max show us that hardship and difficulty can be the very things that teach us grace and fortitude and joy. And death's narrations are strikingly beautiful. He begins the movie by telling us about all of the myriad of souls he has taken. And then he says, my advice is, when the time comes, don't panic. It doesn't seem to help. He's very matter of fact, almost like a little philosopher throughout this movie. And in the movie, when war is finally declared, and a group of boys are running through the streets celebrating, death says, I have met many men who thought they were running toward their enemy, but they were really running toward me. And on a night when bombs were dropping and all of the people were sitting in a bomb shelter, Max goes outside into the street in that dark, dark street. Remember, they had blackout curtains on all the windows, and so it was very dark outside. He stands in the middle of the street and he looks up and he sees the stars for the first time. And death says, while 10,000 souls hid their heads in fear, one Jew thanked God for the stars that blessed his eyes. Even death reminded us of the frailty and the gift of life, but at the same time, he reminded us that we all die. No one gets a pass. No one. Now, John 1, that first chapter of John, tells us that Jesus is the Word, that Jesus is God, and that he became flesh and lived among us. Verses 4 and 5 say, in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some translations say that the darkness has not understood it, or that the darkness cannot be extinguished. But the fact remains, life is life, and light is stronger than darkness. In Genesis 1:4, we find these words. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Now, 1 John verse 5, believe it or not, is also about light. And it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This movie helps us recall the beauty of life and the constancy of God, even as death roams the earth. It lets us know that even in the midst of horror, God is there. And that takes us to Psalm 46. It begins by saying, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, it says, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea. And then there's this big long list of calamity and destruction. And verse 10, which I confess I have used as a weapon against small children in children's choir. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, it says. You see, death may take us from this earth, but God remains. Throughout this movie, we see Liesl and Rudy and Hans and Max, and every time we see them, they are surrounded by light. Even when the family thinks that Max is going to die, he gets very sick down there in that basement. And even when they think he's going to die, the camera angles always have him surrounded by light. They're always in light, even when it's dark. And isn't that how we should live? Isn't that who God calls us to be, children of light? Every time a person enters the basement in this movie, including the Nazi officer who comes to inspect it while Max is in hiding, a comment is always made about light being available even down there in that dark basement. And Hans is always the one who turns on the light switch, assuring everyone that there is light even in that dark and musty basement where words are written on all of the walls. You see, the word is powerful even in the dark. It cannot be extinguished. Now, I haven't mentioned Rosa, the wife, Mama, as she is called. She is the person in the story who reminds us of our own fear and our own tendency to try and control life and to rail against life when it doesn't suit us or when it makes us afraid. When Liesl arrives that first day, and for the first weeks and maybe even months, Rosa is harsh and cold. She reminds us of our own insecurities, even as she tries to extinguish the light around her through insults and verbal manipulation. But when that small ray of light that is a child comes into the house and joins Hans, who is also a light bearer, the light grows and it gets bigger, and pretty soon Rosa begins to soften. And she begins to extend grace to the people around her. I believe that Rosa is a symbol of all that is going on around us in the world right now. At a time when we can join Max in saying the world has gone mad. But like Liesl and Hans, we can refuse to allow the madness of the world to dissuade us from the power of light. Because remember, the light cannot be extinguished by darkness. We can join together with other rays of light and refuse to engage in railing against life and insulting those we don't agree with. When we do this, we can be a force for good. We can align ourselves with the power of light and with the power of the Word of God. We have this idea somehow that there are only two sides to every issue. But there is a power at work in the darkness that wants to divide us into so many directions that we can't even find which side we're on or where we even started. So this is really easy. There's only one side. We are on the side of God, period. Our salvation does not now or has never come from politics. Our salvation comes from God alone. Remember, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God is in control of those who can hear and see Him. Listen for Him. Be still and know that God is in control even in a world gone mad. Be still and know that whatever we're facing today in the way of unrest and heightened anxiety, light is stronger than darkness. Walk in the light. Don't give in to the darkness, no matter how tempting it might be. And we're going to sing a little, We're going to sing a little tiny song. We're not going to have any kind of, it's just the refrain of this really wonderful song called Jesus, the Light of the World. I'm going to sing it for you, then I want you to sing it with me. It's so easy. It goes like this. Walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where His love and His mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Simple. You ready? And I'm an alto, so nobody can say it's too high. Are you ready? Here we go. Walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where His love and His mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. One more time. You want me to give you the words? Walk in the light, beautiful light. Beautiful light, come where His love, come where His love and His mercy are bright. Shine all around us, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, Jesus, the light of the world. And with any luck, that song will just stick in your head the rest of the day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.